Okay, good afternoon. I want to tell you, I guess I can't tell you what a privilege it was to be here today. As I said to the fans and the shareholders, being in Lambeau Field and looking up at the crowd, the green and gold, and then seeing those names up there, it was really it was a special treat. One of the highlights of being commissioner, I got to tell you. So it was really great to be here.
Can the Packers plan effectively these kinds of developments down the road, years down the road, without a
parking? You know, Don, I think you're hitting exactly on the point that we've discussed with the Players Association, is that to create revenue, it takes an investment. And there's a risk to those investments, obviously, but obviously there's a cost. And we need to make sure to grow the game and to make sure we build the game, make it better, that we have the opportunity to do that. And we do believe those are the types of things that need to be addressed from an economic standpoint in the collective bargaining agreement.
Commissioner, one of the comments from the fans out there, or questions, talked about what would happen if there wasn't a season. And it's probably something you not want to speculate or even think about. But, you know, is there that possibility? Or will you do everything and not allow it?
Listen, we're so far away from that. We have an entire season of football and a lot of negotiations. We have a lot of work to do, but a lot of time to get it done. And I think there's a desire on everybody's part to make sure we continue to play football.
Do you have a reaction to a couple of the Packers and several other players around the league to the proposed enhanced season? Both Charles Woodson and Aaron Rodgers came out pretty forcefully against it. You've had Tom Brady and Ray Lewis come out pretty much the same. Does the league have any reaction to those individual comments? Or
I'm not surprised at all by those reactions. And I've spoken to several of those individuals. It's getting people to understand what we're trying to create, how we build a better game, what other things we need to change as part of that. And I think we need to make sure the players are informed about that. It's one of the reasons I'm going around and seeing 10 different teams in 10 different days. To make sure they understand our perspective on these issues. And I think when they do, they understand the benefits of doing it.
Roger, it's our understanding that Vince Young is not going to be suspended for his most recent on-field. Is there a firm decision there? And can you kind of explain?
Yes. I happen to meet, and I think we're going to be announcing shortly, so I might as well do it while I'm here. But I met with Vince earlier this week. And at this stage, based on the facts that we have, I see no reason for any kind of disciplinary action. I did have a good conversation with Vince about his responsibility as an NFL player, and he needs to avoid putting himself in that kind of position. And I think he understands that.
Two-parter regarding John Jolly. Did you get a chance to meet with him before you levied the suspension? And were you ever given any indication that distribution was part of his case?
I did not meet with Johnny, but that's not uncommon as it relates to violations of our substance abuse policy. That is pretty much goes through a process that I am frequently not involved with, because our drug program is a joint program with the Players Association and the NFL. So it went through that process, and as part of that arrangement, there's a tremendous amount of confidentiality, which we respect, and so we don't talk much about the details of it, including the second part of your question.
Okay. A lot of times with one-year suspensions, it didn't seem like it's as open-ended as this one was, at least the way the wording. Is this different than, for instance, Corin Robinson getting suspended?
Again, every circumstance is probably a little different. They're all done within the context of our substance abuse policy and are consistent in that manner. So I don't think there's anything outstanding or different in that process or the decision.
Right. A couple of weeks ago, Commissioner, the Packers released their financials. The union responded by saying, well, that's just one 30-second picture of NFL finances. Do you have a comment on that? I mean, did you see some parallels between what the Packers numbers are and the rest of the league?
Well, I think the Packers numbers speak for themselves. They've indicated they haven't seen any evidence that the model isn't working, and I think that's a clear factor. But the big issue is they have more financial information available to them to help them understand what is wrong with the model, which we have provided. We consistently provide that information so that they have the right kind of data to make the decisions. And they know our revenue to a penny because of our system. They know our costs, our majority of our costs, which are player costs. They have a very good understanding of our stadium expenses because we work with them on those stadiums and they involve. There are audit rights that are part of our collective bargaining. I think somebody reminded me recently there are 7 pages in our collective bargaining that are dedicated just to audit rights. So they have a tremendous amount of information to be able to make the decisions they need about what we're going to do to create a new system that works for everybody.
Roger,
yes.
If you go to 18 regular season games, these bodies are going to be on the field for 18 full games, barring injury. And I'm guessing then the Super Bowl might be pushed back in perhaps mid-February. Okay, would you then push for a scale back on off-season on-field activity?
It's one of the reasons we've talked about. You can't look at this in isolation. It goes back to the question earlier about player reaction. There has to be done in a comprehensive way, which includes how we look at the off-season training. Should we still have OTAs? If so, how many? Should we have restrictions on how long training camp is? Should we have restrictions or limitations on how practices evolve? I think all those things are important, including size of our rosters. Should we allow movement within that roster that we don't allow today? So all of those things can be done to improve the game. And I believe those are the things we need to focus on.
Commissioner, in terms of player safety, the pads on the lower part of the body, thigh, knee, and hip, what's the research showing that those types of pads are preventing injuries? What types of injuries are there?
I'm having a hard time understanding why you need research to say the padding is going to protect you. The padding is not going to make you safer. Players have worn those pads for several years, and we're seeing it being worn less and less in certain positions in particular. And I think it's a balance between the performance and safety. And a lot of times people want to perform at the best level. We would like to be able to say, we want you to perform at a high level, but we want you to do it safely. And there are pads that we can develop, particularly with new technologies, that can allow you to do both. And we're testing that, I believe, in 12 training camps this year, these new types of pads, which a number of our manufacturers want to make. And I think will make the game safer. And you have people who are not wearing the protective gear that's properly fit. I mean, you see a lot of, particularly in defensive linemen, the shoulder pads they're wearing, they look like quarterback pads. We think the players should use the protection that's available to them, and we should work hard to try to provide more of that.
Commissioner, the Lambeau experience is always rated very high. Would it be too cold to ever hold a Super Bowl here?
Well, I guess we have the same potential for it to be cold in New York and when we come to New York in 2014. But it's really not as much about the weather as it is about the infrastructure. To put on a Super Bowl, I think it's over 25,000 rooms within 60 miles. It's the infrastructure that's required for hotel rooms, for people to come in, for traffic. It's an extraordinary undertaking, and it gets bigger and bigger every year. So I think those are the challenges that a market like Green Bay would face.
Roger, why did you think it was important to come to this today?
Well, first I was invited by Mark, and I thought it was a unique opportunity. This team itself represents so much to the NFL, to the history and tradition of our game. It means so much to this community. And to be able to sit there and watch the shareholders meeting and to see the shareholders interact and the fans interact, it was a great experience for me.
You seem pretty positive there won't be a lockout. Do you have indications from your early negotiating that, you know, like the rookie thing could happen where you limit the salaries or just certain things that you give fans hope, I guess?
Well, I don't like to characterize where we are on a day-to-day basis about the negotiations. I know that our job is to play football. I think the players want to play football. I think the players understand that the system needs to be addressed in a responsible fashion. And I think there are opportunities to do it in a way that will be good for everybody, including the players, including the teams, including the fans. And I think we all understand our responsibilities, and hopefully we'll get to work on that because we have a lot of work to do. But there's a lot of time to be able to address that. We need to use that in a responsible fashion.
Do you think the number of unsigned first-rounders at this point is a product of uncertainty for next year? Have you gotten that indication from clubs?
Well, it's not that different than where it's been in the past. And, you know, a lot of those, as you know, are those decisions are made based on who signs next to them. One of the unique things is the first pick in the draft isn't signed. And sometimes that happens before the draft even occurs. And that usually creates the other players signing because it creates the marketplace, essentially. But I don't see any significant difference where they are. But the uncertainty of an uncapped year, the uncertainty of where the marketplace is, they may be all be contributing factors. But hopefully they'll get into camp quick.
Kind of in the same vein, as a whole, have you seen many changes as far as off-season spending, not just with the rookie, but in general as far as going into this?
I haven't looked at it in any great detail, but I've seen a lot of activity and teams going out doing what they normally do, which is trying to improve.
Roger, you talked about the infrastructure for a Super Bowl here, but what about the couple of events like the draft that you've talked about maybe mm-hmm. rotating and then that third Thanksgiving game? Are those two things you could see being held here in Green Bay?
Sure. We are continuing to evaluate how we improve everything we do. I think the improvements we made to the draft, as a matter of fact, one fan was making that point to me, by moving it to primetime was a big hit, and to having it over 3 days just allowed fans to engage with the draft more than they ever have. And that's reflected in the numbers, 45 million people watching it. So I think we'll continue on that vein, and I think we'll look to see if there's whether moving it around on either the second or the third or maybe even the first day would be something that could be compelling and add greater interest in the game. So we will continue to look at that, as we do with everything, whether it's the Pro Bowl, the draft, the combine. I think there are a lot of ways we can continue to improve on what we do.